are you following? I guess that would be the title this morning. Jesus teaches us the importance of knowing not only who you are following, but also we need to know who's following us, who's watching us. How are we living our lives? Are we living it in such a way that that we point people to the person that we are following? And the text this morning, I'm just taking a couple verses from what David read earlier, Luke 6, verses 39 to 40. The scriptures I'll be using are on the back of that bulleted insert. And if we want to stand together, and I'll read those two verses once again. Luke 6, 39 to 40. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for it being available to us whenever we seek to read it and to seek you, Lord. Now, Lord, I just pray that the words of my mouth this morning will be true to the word, and that you will guide me and the congregation as we look at this passage. Now, I just thank you again in your name. Amen. You may be seated. So who are you following? Are we following the world, or are we following Christ? There's only two options. And what is the meaning of discipleship? One of the definitions I came across was a person who follows the teaching or instruction of another. And this passage gives us three rules for discipleship. Number one, as we see in verse 39, don't follow a blind man. Number two, as we see in the first part of verse 40, never become unteachable. Always be striving to learn more from the person that we are following. And don't give up. Number three, don't give up. Don't stop short of the goal, even though we're never going to reach that, the level on this, in this lifetime. The level, we'll never reach the level of Christ. We'll never learn or be able to act out everything that we should be learning. But that doesn't mean we don't strive for it. And let's once again read verse 39. Don't follow a blind man. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? You know, this seems so obvious. This is something we would never do. We'd never latch on to a person who was blind and depend on them to show us the way to get somewhere. And as the scripture says, if we're leading the blind, it will just be led astray, and as the scripture describes, fall into the ditch. And in this case, if we're following a person who's blind to the scriptures, who is blind to the, who's blind to God and to Christ, we will be led astray, and we will be led, as the one translation says, be led into the pit. And it seems obvious we would never do that, but there are things that creep into our lives that cause us, even as Christians, to follow in a path that will lead us to a pit. And as you know, as Jesus spoke here, of course, he's speaking of a earthly type of following the blind, but he's also talking about spiritual things, spiritual blindness, following someone who's spiritually blind and cannot see spiritual truth. And there are so many ways for the enemy to lead us astray. And Unfortunately, it even happens in pulpits in our churches. And whether we admit it or not, we're getting our spiritual direction from somewhere, whether it's family, and hopefully family is leading you in the right direction, but family can lead you astray as well. Friends, how do we choose our friends? Do we choose friends who are going to lead us in the way of blindness? Or maybe a person like Oprah? Are we following somebody from a one-hour TV show who's giving out advice that is often not from God? Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." And not only do we get our spiritual direction from somewhere, whether it's from Scripture and from the ways of God, but there is spiritual direction out there that will lead us astray. And in so doing, there are other people watching us. And if we are being led in such a way that blinds us to spiritual truth, we are also leading others astray. If we confess that we believe and that we are Christians, we need to live in such a way that others can see that. And the one that we should be following, of course, is Jesus Christ. There's so many things in the scriptures where he teaches his disciples, and we are to be mimicking him and what he taught in our lives. We confess that we believe, but does it show up in our lifestyle? There's so many times when we see people who have a master's degree or a PhD, but sometimes they don't seem to live in such a way that you would realize that they have those things. They don't seem to be. I'm not sure where I'm going with this. I'm sorry, but you know, people will have beliefs and will confess to have a certain belief, but they don't live in such a way that it shows to others. And this is something we should always be reminded of. We look at 1 Timothy 4:6-9. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. And we find there's consequences to not disciplining ourselves in the ways of God, in the ways that we've been instructed. And that both we as believers can lead a follower into a pit. And another translation says, the first one will fall into a ditch and pull the other down also. So if we're following the wrong things, the wrong spiritual things, we'll not only fall in the ditch, but we can pull somebody else down as well. So do we embrace the true meaning of discipleship, which is to me learning from Scripture, learning from what God speaks to us through that Scripture, and not only that, but also living that out so that we're not leading others astray by our actions, if our actions don't match what we claim to have learned. And we have a responsibility, I believe, and this goes along with that, to not only know the truth of Scripture, not to realize it, to know it, but also to live it. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. And this is hard. It's so easy to be tempted and to think that, well, you know, we'll partake in this. It's not that bad a thing, and pretty soon we can be headed down a very wrong path. But you know, we can be we celebrate the fact that God has given us the Holy Spirit. As we study and as we pray, to teach us spiritual truths and then to apply that to our daily lives. In James chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You know, we can proclaim our faith, and we can pray for people who are destitute and in need, but if our faith doesn't also show action to the world around us, it is dead. And it's important for us to know who we are following, but also who is following us. Is our lifestyle a reflection of Christ and his character? I was told this story by a friend of mine. Anna was a new believer. She was invited by a friend to a gathering for food and fellowship. Everyone at this gathering were believers who lived out their faith. Anna was wavering somewhat. She had activities from her old life that she did no longer want to participate in. No more partaking in the sinful things she had become accustomed to. Anna knew no one at that party except the person who invited her. She joined about a dozen people around the table and enjoyed the food and fellowship, slowly getting comfortable with new acquaintances. Table games followed. What a good time she had. No booze, drugs, or unclean talk, just good, wholesome fun. The hosts of this gathering found out later that Anna made a firm commitment to follow Christ the next morning. She told this person that the lifestyle shown to her that evening was the turning point. And we don't realize the impact we have. So let's think about those things. Do we behave in such a way that will encourage people to try to find, do they want to find what you have? And then the second thing is, never become unteachable. And the first part of verse 40 says, the disciple is not above his teacher. You know, we have a tendency as believers, I know I do, and, you know, even up here, you know, I'm not saying anything new. You know, we often feel like, well, I've heard that before. I've already learned that. We need to be reminded of things. And as in Anna's case, it doesn't matter if we've been saved for 45 years or 45 minutes. We need to hear it again and again. And oftentimes we need to learn it more than once. And I don't want to ever get to the point where I get the idea that, well, I've matured. I don't need to learn anymore. I don't need to be taught anymore. And we feel like, well, some of this stuff doesn't apply to me anymore. I've learned that. But you look at what the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 3, having the right attitude when it comes to making sure we don't become unteachable. Philippians 3, 12 through 13. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or have to learn everything. He hasn't apprehended everything he needs to learn. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. We need to keep pressing forward. We need to always be eager to learn new things and to be immersed in the lifestyle that God would have for us. And Paul says, you know, we can paraphrase that. He says, you know what? I still have more to learn. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. And if it is Christ that we're following, we'll never be above the teacher. There will be more things to be taught. And we're not just talking about the knowledge here, but we're talking about the lifestyle that reflects that knowledge and reflects Christ from every angle. John 13, 16 through 17 says, most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And Jesus is reminding us of some real truths here, that we will never be greater, or we will never even attain a level of equality on this earth with he who sent us. We must approach God's word anew each time we open it up. We open it up to scriptures that may be familiar for us, expecting the Holy Spirit to speak through those words, even though we've probably read them dozens, hundreds of times before. And we also realize that we'll never know all God has to teach us in this lifetime. As I said before, there's always things to learn, things to realize. You know, sometimes in this life, we just have things kind of dawn on us. Oh, I never thought of that before. Or I never realized what this meant. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And it brings to mind the passage in Proverbs where we're told not to lean on our own understanding. Our own understanding will lead us astray. His thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are higher than ours. I was looking at that clock back there, and I was thinking, wow, I got half an hour to go yet. But I better find some more notes. that clock will deceive you. Don't follow that clock. And the third thing, don't stop short of the goal. And we've already talked about this. But verse 40, the last part says, but everyone who's perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Of course, we're not going to be perfectly trained in this lifetime. Everyone that is perfectly trained or after you've been fully trained, we are constantly striving for we should be constantly striving to learn new things and be trained in new ways to live our lives. New ways might be the wrong way to say that, but realize ways how God wants us to live our lives. Our goal as disciples, as followers, is to be completely trained. And back to Philippians 3 again. I'm going to read that again, and I'm going to add verse 14. 3, 12, 13, and 14. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And, you know, we hear about Paul talking about running the race, striving for the goal. And, you know, our race here on earth, there will be an end to it in this life. Even though we are eternal beings, we only have a finite number of years on this earth, and we are called to run the race, to run it, and to continue to learn, to strive. Running the race means to strive for things. Will we ever in this lifetime, and I don't think we ever will, realize all that we are and all that we have in Christ. But as his disciples, as his followers, we should never grow tired of finding out and learning more things. Let's pray and ask God to help us each day for better understanding our salvation and the completeness of it. And God did not just save us to be good people. You know, there's unbelievers out there who do good things. They help others. They donate to charities. And it isn't just to be good people or just to have eternal life. We are called to a higher calling. We are called to live our lives in such a way that those around us can also have eternal life, that they'll see something in us that will urge them to also become a follower of what we're following. And, you know, the wonderful thing is salvation in Christ. There's more there for us, even in this lifetime, that we will ever be able to lay hold of. And of course, we lay hold and we claim the promises of Christ, the promises of eternity with him. But there are so many things we can do in this lifetime if we are only willing to follow. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. There will come a day when God will complete the work he started in us, not only in our personal lives, but also in the work of, you know, we look forward to, in Revelation, the day of his returning. The work of the people on this earth will be complete. But on a personal level, there is coming that day when our race will be run, and will we be able to say that not only did we believe, but we also followed and emulated him in our lifestyles. But until that day comes, that day is going to come for each of us at some point. Until that time comes, let us strive to live a lifestyle. Let's live our lives in such a way that reflects what God has done for us and what we believe. And we need to seek every day to look more and more like the one we follow. We'll never attain his level. But we want to look more and more and be more and more like him as we go through this life on earth. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time we have together. And now, Lord, I just pray that as we finish the service this morning with a hymn and the closings, we just pray that we'll go from here and not only profess you with our lips, which is so important, but also to profess you through our lifestyle and how we live our lives. May that also speak as if it came from our lips. Now, Lord, I just thank you again in your name. Amen. Okay. Well, our last hymn is about serving. I serve a risen Savior, page 527.